One, two, three.
Uno, dos, tres.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Juice, episode 2 on podcastjuice.net. My name is Michael Dean, and I am also joined by
Toya T. Taylor, a.k.a. Sparkle, a.k.a. That Chick.
Yes, and we are back in the building.
Back on the block.
We are doing it big, as they say. Some of you may remember we used to do the round table and all that good stuff at freedomtrainingonline.com. Now we're here at the new house.
Podcast Juice.
All right, so we're just going to get into things. We got a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of very interesting things to get into. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is, Hampton.
That's the other HU, boy. don't start no riots up in here, okay?
Hampton University's
HU
Business School has banned dreadlocks and cornrows. So, yeah. Let's get into that. So I actually have a little clip I'm going to play to kind of set things up, and then we'll come back. Hold on.
Here at Hampton University, the ban on cornrows and dreadlocks applies to a very specific group of male students enrolled in the five-year MBA program.
Dean Sid Cradle says there are many factors that go into successfully climbing the corporate ladder. There's also the hair factor.
All we're trying to do is make sure our students get into the job. What they do after that, that's, you know, their business.
That's why he's standing by a ban on dreadlocks and cornrows for male students taking a leadership application course in the five-year MBA program.
I don't think it should matter what a hairstyle.
Uriah Bethia is an incoming freshman considering a business focus at the school.
Oh, for a class? No, I wouldn't cut my hair.
At the braiding salon Just Braids in Newport News, ladies we spoke to were offended by the requirement.
Is that society's connotation of that? And, like, who says that's right or wrong?
It shouldn't be necessary for their education. It has nothing to do with your hair.
Dean Cradle says he understands that the styles are an important form of self-expression.
And I say to myself, well, when was it that cornrows and dreadlocks were part of African-American history?
He says he also understands how important looking the part is to landing a job.
I mean, Charles Drew didn't wear. Muhammad Ali didn't wear. Martin Luther King didn't wear.
And the dean says he will continue to stand by the ban. He says just look at his track record for job placement. Out of 160 students, all of them were placed with new jobs except for one. Reporting in Hampton, David Hamm, 13 News.
All right, so we have to get into this. I got my first question though is, are they banning Jerry curls? Like,
in the West Coast perms, you know what I mean?
All right, so Toya, what do you think about this banning of corn? Now, I think he was only saying this was for men as opposed to women. So,
well, that's discrimination. If you're going to do one for, you know, the males, then you have to also make it applicable to the women. You can't just have it be one-sided. And then he talks about, well, Martin Luther King didn't do it, Muhammad Ali didn't do it, but Al Sharpton did it until,
oh,
you know, with
you
the,
right
but
now?
He had a perm. You
well,
know what
perms
I mean?
Are not banned, though. See? That's
yes,
what I'm saying.
Because nobody's walking in there with, you know, the homemade kit perm. That's hey. The situation. But in afros, Jesse Jackson had an afro. So I think he's a little behind the times. Now, is it considered to be professional to have cornrows in the business place? And the answer is absolutely not. What you decide to do on the weekends and in the comfort of your own home and your homies is one thing. But I think if you are applying to an MBA program, you should know better than to have cornrows or to walk into Microsoft with your cornrows. So I see both sides. Now, the dreadlocks, I have an issue with because to me, it's more of a cultural, you know, decision.
Cornrows are not cultural.
I'm just saying. To Mookie, you know, working at Popeyes maybe, and I'm not putting down anybody working at Popeyes. But I don't see a lot of professional brothers on Wall Street, in the corporate world, with cornrows. You don't.
Well, when do you start to see? I mean, maybe we want to start the new thing. I mean,
now for them to be banned while you're in college, and this is your, you know, those are the years that you're making your statement of who you mm-hmm. are, and I think that's a lot. I think it's a bit much. I think it should be a personal decision.
I agree. You know, I look at this in all honesty, I sort of think it's foolish. Now I understand historically what this man is saying. You know, for those who don't see it, you know, this was an African American. dean here and the student that they talked to. And so I understand why, yeah, what is the connotation behind cornrows and what does that mean historically for us? Or at least what we stereotype it to mean, right? Mm-hmm. We think that's hood or that's, you know, some thug image. And then here's the dread situation. But in 2012, I would assume we've come far enough where we say, you know what? Is it more important for them to ban the students from having this particular look? Or is it more important to give them the mindset that what you look like does not even matter?
Well, hold up, because what you look like does matter. First impressions are everything. And I think more
if you're going to work for somebody, maybe.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying. So that mindset of preparing you to go work for somebody, I'm what I'm questioning. Maybe mm-hmm. that is not what we should be still being beholden to. I mean, again, I'm going to draw an extreme, but I mean, Mark Zuckerberg does not fit the corporate example of what you're supposed to do. But obviously, that does not stop him from doing.
Is
what
he white or black?
That's what I said. He is white, but
okay.
At
then
the same
it's a
point,
whole different ball.
Could a black
game.
Person not do what he did if he had the idea? I mean, he didn't have a lot of money. He just had a great idea.
Yeah, but he had probably a lot of doors open for him and had the right connections. For black men specifically, the chips are stacked against you anyway from birth. So why are you going to, you know, stack the chips up even more just because you want a particular hairstyle? I agree with that. Now, I'm talking about cornrows. I'm not talking about the locks. But even, you know what, I had a friend tell me that he worked, and it was in corporate America, in a mm-hmm. particular management position for years. And he did not get the raise he deserved until he cut his locks. And so my thing is basically preparing your students for this is the last, you know, pushback you're going to get if these are the decisions you choose to make. First of all, I have a hard time believing any brother walking into Microsoft or anywhere else with cornrows is going to get the job.
Well, I would disagree when if you bring up someone in the tech industry. If a guy is extremely gifted programmer and mm-hmm. knows this, they don't give a damn what he looks like.
Okay.
Get him in. I mean, I've seen many guys, even where I work, I'm at Amazon. Trust me, there's a lot of guys in there. You'll be like, do you work here? Like, brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want the guy who's...
But okay, then let's just talk about the more traditional,
sure,
you know, positions, a law firm. If you're looking to be an investment banker, if you are looking to...
Well, you say a lot. So, well, that's true. No, so if a guy came up to you, he's a lawyer, had him represent you, and he had a Jerry curl dripping, you probably wouldn't hire him.
A Jerry curl, perm, or cornrows.
Well, I would.
I wouldn't.
He's a gangster lawyer.
No, because I need you to represent me to sure. the fullest. And I need people to take you seriously when they see you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, just based off of look alone, people can't get past that in order to hear what's coming out of your mouth. So.
True. I understand. I just, you know, me, I'm just, when do we get past that? At one point, do we as black people not have to be subjected to that, because everybody else can just do whatever the hell they want to do?
When will we ever not have to assimilate to white standard, Western culture standard, European standard? I don't know.
Well, I was listening to, we'll end it here. I was listening to Afro Nerd. Shout out to Afro Nerd. And Captain Kirk said he was talking about, he started the show talking about economic warfare, economic gangbanging. And he was like, the only way we're going to make change is if we just decide, you know what, we're not buying nothing.
Absolutely.
And that's the only way. And that I think that's the only way we will not have to be subjugated to a certain look. We just say, you know what, we ain't supporting that. We're only going to do business here. And then they'll
start
be like,
your own,
you know,
businesses.
What?
Start
it doesn't
your
matter
own
what you look like. You got the money, you got the power. But until then.
But the dean did make a statement. He said, once you get your foot in the door, do what you want to do. Wear your locks, wear your perm, wear your jerry curl, wear your cornrows. But at least give yourself the opportunity to get the foot in the door and open the door for others.
Yeah.
You know? Or go out on a limb. You don't have to go get an MBA to start your own business. Start your own business, make your own money, and then you can
exactly.
hire whoever the hell you want to. But if you are waiting and having to abide by someone else's standards, you got to play the game.
And all of that is true unless you have a perm or a jerry curl, because those are not banned. And like you said, Al Sharpton made it.
Yes. Swag. Well, let me just say this. The connotation of brothers who wear locks. Let's just talk about that. Sure. People look at you and they automatically assume you're militant. The brother is revolutionary.
I think it depends on how it's worn. I would think, I think some white people may see a person with locks and be like, oh,
he's
artsy dude. He's kind of. It depends on how it's worn. If you got the big, you know, the big long and thick, then yeah, you might look. But you know, you kind of got the short. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's nice dressed.
Talking about the very open-minded white person who has black friends and who's been around the people. You know what I mean? But we're talking about the average white person in corporate America who sees you walking through the door with your locks.
Well, the average average white person in corporate America, no matter what you look like, is gonna think, "Oh, hey, you got that Nicki or you know, they grew up on hip hop, so they just assume they know you anyway, no matter what you really look like." When the boss leave the room, they gonna be like, "Oh, did you get that? I got that Tribe Called," you know, whatever. Just they already that's sort of a problem, even if you're not the thugged out look. They think that that's what you know all about that anyway. So I don't know if they still, I think the younger guys may even be worse because they've grown up with this the gangster music and that stuff that was fun when they were young, and now they just assume that you know all about that. And and you'd be like, dude, I'm straight with
you. And think about it too, in these terms, even around brothers, just in general, the presence of a black man can be intimidating. Just even amongst the circles of brothers, when another brother walks in the room, you sizing him up, and you know what I mean.
You're looking at you.
Right. So imagine when a brother walks in the room with a bunch of white folks or whoever, automatically. So imagine if you have cornrows and dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You stacking the points against you, but you know.
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, the reality is everything you said is right. I will say this. If my hair was still long, I'd have my perm rocking. I don't give a damn.
Did you say a perm?
I did. Perm. Big perm. I'd be on my Love Sexy, Jesse John all day. I don't care what nobody said. But anyway, we're going to move right along and get away from that. Next up, what do we got next up? We have a situation with a young man. He was one of the top basketball prospects. Name was Tony Farmer. I know some of you guys have heard of this and seen there's a video online. This young man was sentenced to 3 years in jail for kidnapping his girlfriend. And it's making the rounds. I'm going to play a clip from this. You have to go see the video for the full effect. And I'm going to post the videos probably underneath this or just above this play thing here. So let's play a little bit of this. We'll be right back.
7, that the defendant shall serve a term of 3 years, which is the minimum on count 1 of that. As to count 2 in that case, felonious assault, a felony of the second degree, it is ordered that the defendant shall serve a term of 2 years in prison on that count. As to count 3 of that case, the robbery, which is also a felony of the second degree, the court orders that the defendant shall serve a term of 2 years on that count as well.
Stop it.
Wait, what was that outburst, though? Yo, this young man. Go ahead.
When you watch it, when he makes it, he faints. And I assume that his family members back there go, that sounds like some zombies or something. But listen, now, first, get your bitch ass up. You, young sir, you've kidnapped a woman, a young girl. Kidnapped. And I don't know the total circumstances behind this, but he's charged with kidnapping a woman. Apparently, he could have gotten a lot more years if they would have ran it for what his charges were, but they're running them all concurrent. So he's doing 3 years. And you can hear him looking at his lawyer like, what, I got 2 years? 3 years? Like, he just doesn't, like, he's dumbfounded. And then he, goes for the acting of the year where he falls out and faints. Listen, you should have thought about that before when you were doing all that dirt. Because I tell you this, if I was the, that was my daughter, they did, the least of his concerns would have been the 2 years and 3 years in prison. Because that's some bullshit. So I don't want to make fun of it. It's not fun. Jail is not fun. But dude, stand up. Take it like a man. You was
it's
man
easy,
enough to do
easy,
that.
It's easy for you to say because you're not in that situation.
I have been in jail, unfortunately. And I know that's what I'm saying. It is very scary.
But it wasn't
and
for
I wasn't
three
no 3 years.
So hold on. Let me
sure,
say
go
this.
Ahead.
I think.
Bitch ass
nigga. It's so wrong. Support that brother. I think.
support.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me tell you one of the things that is extremely sad about this is that he didn't understand the judicial system, that he didn't understand what the judge was saying. And I think that we definitely need to teach these brothers what their rights are and what are the consequences for your actions.
Are you saying that he didn't know what was going on
in the courtroom? He didn't know that. He thought that he was getting 5-7 years. Every time she stated what, you know, what was happening, he thought she was adding on years. He misunderstood. He didn't understand.
Okay.
And that is the bigger picture that many of our brothers do not understand the judicial system and how it can affect them when they do certain things. I think that's one of the bigger pictures here.
Well, the thing is, though, so he got less years than he thought he was getting.
Absolutely, that's
what
I'm saying.
I mean, at least he's winning by not, at least he's still
but
on
he
the
didn't
good side of that.
He didn't he had no clue what she was saying. At all. And so what I'm saying is that we need to educate. I understand that, but we need to educate these brothers about what the consequences are when you sell crack on the corner, when you assault someone, kidnap someone. You need to understand what your rights are and what the consequences will be.
Who doesn't know that that's illegal?
I
mean, most average people would know if you kidnap somebody and you get caught, you're going down. Like, I don't understand. What is he not understanding about that?
He didn't understand.
I
mean, and I'm not taking up for him, but
he's a college student now, right?
I don't know if he's a college. No, I think he's a high school student.
Okay, well, he knows how to shoot a hoop.
What the hell does that have
to
do
I'm
with
just
having.
Saying, he's not dumb.
Being able to. Says who?
Well,
says
I mean,
who?
Of course he
just
is dumb
because
he pulled a crime. But I'm just saying.
Just in general.
He's not.
We don't know. But let me
well, you know what? Even if he's not. So what?
Let me read some of these comments that were made on Facebook about this. And I want to talk about this.
And read mine on there, too, if you're
looking. All right. So one person said he shouldn't have fucked with dumb bitches. I had a friend who hit a female and the consequences are real. 3 years is ridiculous and it's not worth losing your career. But let's talk about back it up.
Wow. Slow it down.
Yo, he shouldn't be fucking with dumb bitches.
Right.
What are we talking about here? So now is it the sister's fault?
Well,
and a few people said that, man. She wasn't the only person.
Sure. Well, I think I will say that it's kind of like to me when you look at Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, and Evelyn.
He just
it's kind of like, why would you get involved with a female that seems on the surface to be just way out there?
So
now, the thing is, we don't know anything about this young woman.
Yes.
I'm not agreeing with what that person said.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that's what they were trying to go with it. But at the end of the day, dumb bitch or not, quote unquote, you choose to do what you... There's no female that's going to make me want to kidnap her.
And even so, you have to restrain yourself. You have to have enough common sense to know that this is a situation I need to get myself out of if it's really emotionally affecting me to the point I'm doing negative things. So why people are, another person said, fucking with dumb ass broads that keep you mad. The kid lost his cool, composure, and career. Triple C's, not Rick Ross. I'm just saying. What the hell are we talking about here?
Nah.
How have we switched?
These are your friends?
No, shut up. I have an arrange of friends.
Apparently, it's like
you know I mean, I believe in diversity. But I'm just saying.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you hear that?
Are those really gunshots outside your window? Should we be ducking?
Ladies
and gentlemen,
be honest
we'll be
with
right
you,
back.
I'm not going to lie to you. It could possibly be. That's sad. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He does some shit.
Welcome.
I done lost my train of thought. I can't think. I'm trying to. Is there enough room under the bed for
That's
me to
terrible.
Fit under the bed? Because. You know what?
I'm sorry. that's bad. Anyway, so read it. Can you read another one?
Okay, I'm gonna get off of the. There's another one. I think dudes should make better choices when messing with females. I'm just really upset that people are starting to shift the attention from the case to the young woman. Another one. He should be punished, but his sentence is clearly excessive for a first offense combined with no criminal history. The rush to be the toughest judge around has resulted in too many people getting no mercy and no chance of a future. It makes me sad. And the racial aspect is troubling. I really have no doubt in my mind that if it was a white defendant, he would have received much more rational sentence with a chance of a future.
Give me a break on the race.
Come on now. Come on. I mean, talk
don't
about it.
Don't put yourself in this situation. If this is 2012, we don't went through civil rights, Klan, discrimination, racism. If you don't know that this is a racist system, supposedly, then I don't know what else is to take to let you know that. So if you have any common sense, you know that when we get put in the system, they go hard body. So don't put yourself in the system. Nobody forcing you to do
right. But let me
tell
take you what
women
happens.
And capture them and hold them against their will. First of all, that's some sucker shit.
What, that comment?
No, kidnapping.
Oh, what he did? Oh, no doubt.
So first of all, it's a sucker anyway. So
yeah, okay,
I don't really care. That's why I said if it was my daughter, I don't care if he didn't know. I don't care if the system go hard. That's his ass.
Let me tell you what happens to these young men, these athletes. They get this peripheral, you know, they get the preferred treatment while they're
spell
in.
Spell it out.
You know.
Professor.
You know what I'm talking about. They get this preferred treatment. They're, you know, skating through school, their right. education. Everybody's acting like this is going to be a superstar. He's going to go to the league. Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. So they think they're invincible until their asses do something. Ucho Cinco. Your boy Mike Vick, Michael Vick. Yep. You know what I mean? Everybody's
Play
kissing
yourself.
Your ass until you do something they don't like. And it's not the same result for their white counterparts. So these cats don't know that this is going down until it happens.
And that's too bad for them.
Okay, this was a really good comment. Tolerance for violence against women. As a former collegiate athlete, there is an additional responsibility to hold yourself to a higher standard or conduct. You're 6'7", dude. What's a woman going to do to you? Walk away. I'm frustrated because he put more weight on how this impacted his basketball career than it impacted his character. My prayer is one of thanks that it's prison and not the grave. There is still time to get his life together. That's my favorite.
Yep.
Comment.
And if y'all want to put money on his books and help him get some soap on the rope, you can do
that's
that.
That's so wrong. That is so wrong.
Jail is wrong. It should be a deterrent. So, unfortunately for this young man, he has an opportunity to get his life together. He's very young. He can turn it around. This is a very learning experience. It's online. The world knows. You look like a clown. Now get it together, bruh. Get it together.
And a lot of people said that you know, there's still time. Don't think that everybody's saying, oh man, he messed up his he has made a wrong turn, but it doesn't mean that he can't get back on the right path.
Yeah.
And hopefully he will use this story to teach other young athletes who are going down that wrong road that these are severe impacting consequences that can be life altering.
Yeah,
don't do it.
And so for all those who's thinking about it, all you gotta do is just watch that video every day and say, man, I ain't going out like that cat being a jail catching seizures and fainting.
So this is cool too. When you guys get a chance, look at this article. It says, read before you retreat, why former basketball star Tony Farmer doesn't deserve your sympathy.
That's right.
And that's at www.clutchmagonline.com.
All right. So with that, we are going to take a break. We're going to play some music. We're going to regenerate ourselves.
Play the music with your mouth, bitch.
I thought you said play the music with your mouth, bitch. But anyway.
Keep in mind. See, you know what? This is what's wrong with my people.
Oh, my people. We'll be back. Hold on.
Make the music with your mouth, bitch.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. PodcastJuice.net. Toya, Michael, we're here. Let's go. Now, this is the other side of the show. Things get maybe a little more crazier. Toya, you just read something before we came back that you have to start us off with that. This is very important information for all of you.
So there's a video. Watch. Breastfeeding mom told not to pump at work because she might spray all over the office.
Wow. Breastfeeding mom told not to pump.
Who the hell told who told her that, man? That you can't pump spray your milk because it might, you know, get in somebody else's coffee.
I mean, does she have like big breasts or something?
It doesn't matter, Michael Dean. You know what I mean? Why are we offended by what's natural and women doing what they have to do so they can continue to work in the workplace?
So if you were, she was the desk next to you, and she was, now God, I don't know why you're at work doing this, but if she's at work, she's got a breast out, and some of the milk squirts.
Okay, first and foremost, you desk. Ignorant person. you know what? If she's pumping, the pump, shut up, the pump covers her breast. So obviously it's some ignorant man who made this comment who doesn't know anything about pumping milk from the breast. Idiots. He just mad because he couldn't get him some. Yo, I'd have a discrimination suit. I would sue.
You'd be the milk pumper?
Yo,
you go
I would
down
sue.
In history as the milk pumper.
I'd be the one who's making it rain with some money because I would make a have a lawsuit.
You'd literally be making it rain with milk all over. Get her out of the office.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, but
it's
again,
ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. So are you saying that the black man can't go to work with cornrows, but this woman can go in there pumping milk all
I'm
over the place?
I'm saying if he can get the job with the cornrows, then absolutely. But brother, don't be mad when you're in the unemployment line with your cornrows and you don't understand why. This sister is doing what's natural. Women have children and they work. Women decide to breastfeed their kids. They have to do that.
Why do they have to do it?
Because your breast gets filled with milk and you have to release the milk. You have to pump it.
To release it?
You have to pump it.
To pump it. Can't you do that at home before you come to work? Why would you need to pump the milk at work?
Because it doesn't.
Why would I want to pay you? I mean, not that
nobody
that
is
paying
you. See, that's so wrong. Why do I want to pay you to pump milk at work?
Exactly.
That's so. You better stop while you are so ahead. Because a woman's.
You think Bill
breast,
Gates is going to pay for a woman to pump the breast at Microsoft?
It's a woman's right.
You to pump your breast?
You have to, Michael. Your breast still fills with milk, regardless if your child
right,
isn't there or not.
Can't you plan your day to pump that at home?
You pump it. Are you listening to me?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You pump it in the morning. Yes. But your breast the will still continue to fill with milk. So at some point, you're going to have to pump again. You know what?
What?
You change the subject.
You brought it up.
Because you know what?
Okay. No, I mean, I don't know. This is, I agree, but I'm just, I guess it's the splash part. Like I said, I mean, as long as you can keep it.
Didn't I just say the bottle?
It's not on my desk.
The pump will cover the breast. You're not squirting all over the place. It's not like you're milking a cow. She has a breast pump covering the breast area.
Well, I mean, was it a problem? Is that why they brought it up? Like,
I refuse to read it because it's ridiculous. I don't know what happened.
Hey, I want to know. Anybody out there can get to the bottom of this. And if you've had this experience at work, if you work with a coworker and you've got squirted, let us know. Because this is a very interesting...
Did you say if you got squirted?
I mean, you might have got unintentional squirts. Now, I was going to say something, but it's like I can't really talk about it. But I will say there is a situation for this at where I work. I just thought about this. Very interesting. I'm going to ask them about that. But anyway, moving right along. the pumpers. Speaking of pumping, Mr. Marcus.
Wow.
Some of you may know who this is. Some of you act like you don't. Well, Mr. Marcus is a very popular, legendary black porn star. He's the guy who's always got the cap on. So some of you are like, ah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I had no clue.
Apparently she has no idea what it is.
I'm not in that life.
Well, because you ain't about that life.
I ain't about that life.
But apparently, I don't want to be about it either, because Mr. Marcus admits to starting syphilis scare and lying about positive test results. So apparently, this guy here, he's been in the game for almost like, I want to say 18 years.
Wow.
Apparently, he found out that he tested positive for STD. I'm going to kind of read a little bit of this here. I'm looking at news1.com. It says, Mr. Marcus, according to his timeline, told AVN, it's sad that I know what that means, Video News. Well, it comes out. That he went to see his personal physician on July 11th after feeling poorly. The next day, his doctor told him that he tested positive for syphilis. And on July 13th, Mr. Marcus got a penicillin shot and was told not to have sex for 7 to 10 days. He claims that he followed his doctor's orders, even canceling porn shoots within that time frame. On the 11th day, Mr. Marcus took another dose of penicillin and performed a sex scene. AVN reports that his physician is unaware of his porn career. So apparently there has been this scare that has gone through the porn industry, and he is the cause of it. So he was in there doing this thing. Obviously, he has STD. And, you know, in these movies, they go raw. So it's just, it's crazy. You know, as a young man, if anyone who heard podcast Juice Episode 1, this is my moment to slow it down, as I said in that one. So I'm not going to say what I was about to say.
Slow it down. You got to slow it down. Slow it down.
But I was just saying that. This situation is no joke. You know, as much as the porn is very big underground and the internet is kind of based on it, this is very scary stuff, because, you know, you have to be safe with your sex. So for all the fans of Mr. Marcus, take a break. Show this brother some love. Mr. Marcus, sir, hopefully you can get your things together. Mr. Marcus tweets. He says, you can be disappointed, but don't throw stones. Some of you are living in glass houses. Another porn actress, Christina Rose, tweets, if your apology is really just you passing the buck and still lying, it's really just a public fuck you. So, very interesting stuff. Mr. Marcus, keep your other head up, bro.
Oh, God. Did you really just say that? Keep your head up.
Yeah, keep the other one under wraps next time. Let's get into more news. Now, let's get into a health tip. We like to talk about health things and that can improve our bodies, our minds, help us to live longer. Toya, you have a health tip for us? Are you up on this one?
Well, it's not even a finding, but it seems as is. Hold on, I wasn't ready. I can't even read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. Do we want to take a break and you want to do
it? Yeah, play some music.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and then we'll hit y'all with a health tip and we'll wrap this thing up. All right, hold on.
And then they tried to take advantage of her.
Baby doll house. Baby doll house.
Hey, 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 boys, hey, hey, girl, hey. This is Toya T and Michael Dean on the podcast Juice, 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 Juice. And speaking of juice, there's a finding. It's not even a finding.
Nice.
There is a theory that people are coming up with in the medical world, and they're saying that oral sex could be a cure to morning sickness.
You don't say.
So it says Gordon Gallup, a psychologist at SUNY Albany, has a theory that pregnant women who are continually exposed to the father's semen are less likely to suffer from AM nausea. Okay.
Hmm.
So she specializes in human reproductive
contraceptive? I don't know.
Oh, shit. Human reproductive and behavior, and offers the theory that expectant women become ill and vomit because their bodies are rejecting the semen's genetic materials as something foreign and unfamiliar. So if you take it in, it will balance out your body mm-hmm. thinking that it's a foreign substance.
Exactly.
Shut up. What do you mean
Brother's
exactly?
Brother's been saying this for years.
Whatever. Yeah, it also clears up acne.
Exactly. You
so,
like lotion.
Oh, God.
Continue.
So it's saying that the theory could feasibly help with the queasiness by ingesting the same sperm in order to allow mm-hmm. the body to build up a tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been proven. There hasn't been any studies done. But I'm sure that there will be a lot of brothers who sign up volunteer to see if the theory is true.
Well, actually, I hope it leaves a lot more sisters volunteering.
Oh, well, I mean, the brothers will volunteer to have someone.
You didn't get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
Actually, no, you're right, because it's only pregnant women. It only works for... Go ahead.
Yeah, so, this could really spice up the love life.
So, this is basically saying it's not oral sex. I mean, but they're saying blowing out the throat.
Oh, what did you just... What did you just say? Blowing out the throat? What the hell are you? What? Michael.
Gordon. I think you read his name is Gordon Goop. I'm just joking.
You know what? That is so nasty. Ew, you are so nasty. OMJ.
So they're saying that taking the sperm, I'm going to be scientific, taking the sperm down the throat canal is the thing that, you know, basically you have to ingest it and swallow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it can balance out what your body is considering mm-hmm. to be a foreign substance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
shut up. So, you know, I look at it like this. I look at it as
look at it?
It's a win-win. You know, because a lot of times when women are...
Go ahead. I love it.
I mean, when they're pregnant, they're not feeling sexy. And, mm-hmm. you know, women are sometimes a little uncomfortable with oral sex. I think this could be...
Take it, girl.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I was just like trying to reenact. Go ahead.
So, it could be a way to spice up the love life while you're pregnant and, mm-hmm. you know, do some things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't either.
I know you
do. Imagine
know.
That.
I think most men, if we took a poll, will absolutely
We've agree. Been right. It feels good to be vindicated and validated.
No, this is a theory.
Well, I mean, but it's because it hasn't
it's
had
not
enough
a fact.
Conclusive study. But we know in layman's world that this, you know, this has a calming effect.
The poor embryo, the poor baby. I mean, I don't think it wants to partake.
Brothers and sisters.
Of this. Oh, okay. It's just a bonding activity. It's holistic for everyone.
I wonder if there's such a book, holistic oral sex or something like that. You know, getting into. You know,
it's called the Kama Sutra.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting, though, to be totally honest. What sparked this? Like,
that's a good question. Like, how the hell does this conversation come up?
Right.
Was one of the doctors pregnant and they were doing their thing and, you know, she didn't have morning sickness when she was doing oral sex and when she didn't? I mean, I have no clue. But, you know, it could make sense that people are trying to figure out what could be the cure to morning sickness. And maybe that just makes common sense that if you find out a way to balance what's making the nausea occur anyway, it would be semen.
Yeah. And let's be clear for you ratchet pregnant. Yeah. It's
Did you say ratchet?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm about to say, to be clear for you ratchet.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
It's the father of the baby sperm. Not that other nigga down the street.
I'm not mad at you about that
the
one.
Fathers of the baby sperm. So let's keep that on the 100 level.
Let's be clear.
Yeah, so for you ratchet ones.
Who's like, oh my goodness, this is what I'm talking about.
Taking that in the mouth anyway.
This is what I'm talking about. Because me and Bobby been trying to figure out a way to get it in. You know, even though he ain't my baby daddy, you know what I'm saying? If this is going to help with my morning sickness, shoot, I'm down.
Well, hey, holler at me. No. All right. Wow.
Oh, well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
While we're talking about pregnant women, you know
I didn't do it.
You know what? Is it true that, what is your experience that sex is better when a woman is pregnant? Is that true?
I won't say it's better, but it is good. It's not, I don't know if it's
better.
Well,
what was it before if it wasn't
good?
What
I'm saying is, you may, for those who don't know, you may think that, why would I want to have sex with a pregnant woman? But it's actually really good. Like, it's not what you may think it's going to be. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's better.
I mean, I've heard dudes be like, yo,
but it can be very good. It's very,
you know what
I
think it is? I think that because women a lot of times don't want to have sex when they're pregnant, when their men finally get something, they're like, oh my God,
well,
this is good. Sure.
But the woman's body is changing too, so sometimes maybe the breasts are kind of getting a little
plumper
and different things is going. I'm using hands. So yeah, it can be good. Okay. Now, there's some guys that from what I heard, that's what they into. Again,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Unless it's your wife, but you know, but yeah, it's good. Now again, for guys, is sex good?
Yeah. Any sex is good for a dude. No matter.
But no, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Salute that.
All right.
All right. Let's get off of the.
Let's get off of mom's. I just got off of your son.
Wow, nice. Yeah. Very nice, very nice. Toya.
Hey, Michael.
You are getting involved in something here. It's in business, and we want to make sure that everybody understands what that is. So this is your time to shine. You know, put your things out there. What's the name of your business, and what is it about?
Yeah, so you know what? I mean, after many, many years of working for other people and always doing what I love, which was acting, spoken word, and public speaking, I decided it was time to go ahead and make that move and start my own business, do something I'm passionate about. So October 1st, I launch a company called We App. And the app is Act, Present, Perform. So I'll be teaching three courses in public speaking, acting, and spoken word. So it's two adult classes, the public speaking and the acting. And then there's a young artist academy for young adults 12 to 17. And I'm ecstatic about it because I really think that public speaking, the type that really impacts people, comes from a very authentic place. So when we think about the people who have created change, Gumby?
Oh,
I was about to say Gumby. Gummy bears. Gandhi and Martin Luther King, they were passionate. They really believed the things that they were doing and the things that they were helping other people and inspiring other people to be engaged with. So that's what we do when we app. We get in touch with the authentic self. We talk about what makes your voice unique. How do you utilize your body language so that people connect? It's about connecting. So I'm really excited.
All right. So where can they find information on that online?
Absolutely. If you are in the Washington, Seattle area, the website is the, T-H-E, W-E, app, A-P-P, studio, the weappstudio.com. Check out the classes. They're 6-week classes. They're affordable. We're going to do some activities and techniques that really help you get in tune with who you are. So when you speak, people listen.
All right. And when does the first class start?
All courses start the week of October 1st and, okay. and end the week of November 5th. So you're in there 6 weeks, one day per week, really understanding how to become in tune with who you are so you make a greater impact on society.
All right. And again, you said, you know, you have a class that's for people from between 12 and 17. And I bring that up to say, if you know any younger people
Absolutely.
That are looking to get into something that's positive and where you can kind of bring them, so learn some different things and you know, meet a great mentor and person that can motivate you and stuff, you check this out, definitely.
Yeah, let me just, I want to say this about the Young Artist Academy. It's a testimony for me because as a young adult, somebody gave me the opportunity to use my voice, mm-hmm. to be able to write and advocate for young people. And I swear to this day, it saved my life. Mm-hmm. So to be able to bring students into a safe environment, get them away from texting and not having that social interaction, and really, face on, are being face on with confronting some issues that they go through in their community and their personal lives, okay. and celebrating them on the stage, I mean, it's life-changing.
All right. We yeah. app. You will hear more of this continuously throughout the weeks to come, but we always want to support our own, so go
Absolutely.
Check that out. All right. Proud of you. Doing your
Thank
thing.
You. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So you are listening to podcastjuice.net. Now, you may be going to the site, and you may see that donate button there on the side. That ain't there just for show.
When we're talking about podcastjuice.com.net.
That's correct.
Podcastjuice.net.
Donate. What are you going to be donating for? You might be donating to help us get like some more equipment, some other mics,
nice.
Maybe some coffee or things to drink. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So let me ask this. If yes. I was to donate, mm-hmm. do I get a shout out? Do you have a page that tells what the donation went to? That would be great.
First of all, we're going to shout you out on the show. So that you're going to get that, but you're also definitely going to be contributing to the dream of podcastjuice.net and bringing us into bigger and brighter things. And again, the show will always be free. Let me right. just be clear about that.
Can I get a sponsor? Can you
that
get a sponsor page or something?
Those things are coming. We'll do things where we have opportunities where you can pretty much advertise on the show, and we're not going to be hitting people over the head.
Right.
Like, we're going to make it so it's affordable and fair. But the whole thing is, just like how it was with Freedom Train, we yeah. ask y'all to make this community work. And of course, nothing ain't going to happen unless you're putting down some money. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like Claire Fogdala. I'm like, who's the president right now? Obama. They all was out there on the donation train, so I'm out here too. Also,
Absolutely.
Shout out to my man, Starring Buck Wild, doing his thing. Shot 97.
Buck Dad.
Very inspired by that brother doing his thing. So, podcastjuice.net. Come to the site, see us on Facebook, you see us on Twitter, tell your friends about it. We're going to be here at least 2 times a week. And of course,
I love the site. The site is really, it's,
thank you.
Yeah, this is a dope site, dude.
We're just keeping it simple, plain, so people can get the information quick. You know, we wanted to share, be on your phone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Wherever you see it, just listen, tell your people about it. I'm going to shut up. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to take us out with some music. We're going to be back probably in a couple days. Again, shout out to all the people who listen to the Prince Podcast. I see you tweeting the shows and everything. I appreciate it. We're going to keep doing that, no doubt. And with that, I'm out.
Peace.
Got you. Just give me all your loving. Girl, I'll do all the love even there. That's all I ask of you.
Kissing you is not enough for me. You know I'm a big boy, and big boys have desires. Making love is what I wanna do, but I need a true friend to make it come together.
Just give me all your love.
I wanna kiss you right there. Just stand right there, little girl.
Kiss you anywhere.
Especially. to put you on the line, but I gotta tell you what's exciting.